There are three aspects the Bible talks about when it comes to the word fool, foolish, or foolishness. The first one I'd like to cover today is the word fool and how the Bible describes a fool. Now, a fool is defined as a person who acts unwisely or imprudently. And there are several synonyms for this word. And these are not from me, just to give you a heads up, a warning. These are actual synonyms that describe this word. And some of them are like this: idiot, blockhead, dunce, cretin, dullard, moron, nitwit, dope, nincompoop, dimwit, goon, ditz, dummy, dum-dum, numbskull, airhead, flake, nerd, bird brain, jerk, donkey, twit, dork, schmuck, goofball, doofus, klutz, sap, and many, many more, including some vulgar words, which I will not repeat. But have you ever been called one of these names? Or have we at times called someone by one of these names? Now, I'm pretty sure we have out of frustration, or we have for simple amusement, or half-heartedly as a joke. I'll admit I have used many of these words, and a lot of the times it was as a joke, but it could have been out of frustration too. But this is how the society relates to the word fool. The Bible, on the other hand, has an added significance to this word as someone who disregards God's word. There are many scriptures in the Bible that describe such a person, often contrasting him or her with one who is wise and or righteous. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verses 2 and 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, starting in verse 2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. A fool's heart continually goes towards foolishness, as the next scripture describes in Proverbs chapter 26 and in verse 4. Proverbs chapter 26 and in verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Another way, you want to avoid a pointless argument and avoid answering foolishly. In verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So there are obviously selective times that we must stand up. But we have to do that through God's wisdom. And in verse 6, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, like the legs of the lame that hang limp, is a proverb in the mouth of the fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. In verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Fools do not learn their lesson from their mistakes, and they continue on with them, doing the same foolish things over and over again, leading to their own destruction. Notice Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 6. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity. To practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Fools do not care about understanding. Proverbs chapter 18, excuse me. I thought I was gone already. It's not. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. And also verse 6 and 7. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The book of Proverbs lists quite a few more characteristics of a fool in contrast to the wise. Notice Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So fools hate knowledge. Also chapter 10, verse 23. If they hate knowledge, then there is something that they do love. Proverbs 10 and verse 23. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. So fools love doing evil. May not know it, but if they don't love knowledge, then they would love evil. Verse 12 and verse 23. Proverbs 12 and verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of the fool proclaims foolishness. They broadcast folly or stupidity. And also in chapter 19, verse 1, better is a poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So they speak perversity. Notice also in chapter 12 and verse 16 of Proverbs, chapter 12 and verse 16, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. So a fool is quick to speak, is quick-tempered. Also notice chapter 29 and verse 11. Chapter 29, verse 11. A fool vents all his feelings, and in contrast, a wise man holds them back. And also in 14, verse 33, on the same note here, Proverbs 14, verse 33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools, or what is in the heart of fools, is made known. The point is, venting is not always a good thing, because oftentimes too much is said, which doesn't need to be said, and it could get you into trouble. Notice chapter 14 and verse 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, and in contrast, the lips of the wise will preserve them. Holding your tongue is difficult to do, but you don't want to have your tongue get you into trouble. Now also, same chapter, chapter 14, that's verse 8 and 9. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. It's deceitful. They mock sin. Chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, But he who receives correction is prudent. And in verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. So a fool rejects discipline and brings grief to his or her parents. Continuing on in chapter 17 and verse 25. Chapter 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him. And then in chapter 19 and verse 13. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping or irritation. Sin could definitely lead to foolish decisions, and a fool can be easily enticed to sin. Lust is a prime example, and a fool commits sexual immorality, as we can read in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. Proverbs 6 and verse 32, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. And notice also in chapter 7, how much of a distraction this could lead to. And we'll read about this in chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Entitled here, talking about the crafty harlot. And saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night. And there a woman met him, with the attire of a harlot, and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious, her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of a love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. So even though this is an example of adultery or lust, it also shows a lack of understanding and giving into carnal nature that can lead to death. Even though this is one example, but sin has many various forms and traps laid out. And if we're not careful, we will become a victim. So here what I just stated were many characteristics of a fool, but it can go even deeper than that, as the ultimate description of a fool is one who says and is in their heart that there is no God. Notice Psalms chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. So that is the mindset of a fool. Also the mindset of all atheists. But the Bible warns about associating with these types of people in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6 and 7. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Go from the presence of a foolish man when they do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. And also in chapter 13 and verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, all hope is not lost for fools. They do have the opportunity to become wise when seeking wise counsel. But seeking is one thing. Also, applying it in their lives is another. Notice Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 5 through 11. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5 through 11. Verse 5, O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and writes to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. And also in chapter 21 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 11. When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. Now in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, we read about Jesus calling someone a fool. So let's actually go there. Let's read that real quick. Chapter 5 and verse 22. And what he in fact did here was warning somebody who called someone a fool in Matthew 5, 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So the term Raca, when spoken from a heart of contempt, seems to imply utter worthlessness. And it was a very strong expression. But Jesus wasn't saying that we can't call the choices of another foolish. And in our Q&A on the scripture, we state from the Nelson Study Bible, which gives the following explanation to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21 and 22. You have heard refers to the teaching of various rabbis rather than to that of Moses. Jesus was questioning the interpretation of the Jewish scholars, not the Old Testament itself. The scribes and Pharisees said that a person who referred to another as Raca, meaning empty head, was in danger of being sued for libel before the council or the Sanhedrin. On the other hand, Jesus said that whoever calls another a fool will have to answer to God. That is not to say that calling someone a fool will condemn a believer to eternal punishment in hell. Rather, Jesus was saying that to utter such words is to place oneself in a worse condition at the time of judgment. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 12 and 15. Now, we do not have the power of the right or the right to condemn anyone to hell or Gehenna fire. That position of judgment belongs only to God. So notice in this context, Christ's warning in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 and 37. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, this every idle word are careless, thoughtless, and useless words, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown likewise point out in their commentary on the whole Bible, stating, to understand why it is so serious to call a brother a fool, the meaning of which might include a child of hell, or an effeminate, that is, a sexually abnormal person, is because it is the fate of those kinds of people to end up in the lake of fire unless they repent. It is a serious matter to falsely call a brother or a sister in Christ a sexually immoral person or a dog, i.e. a homosexual. That is not to say that we must blind our eyes to true facts. Paul was not afraid to point out that some, including in the church, were or had been sexually abnormal. Compare 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 and chapter 5, verses 9-13. However, Christ warned us not to make incorrect charges of immoral conduct against others, and especially our brethren, because of motivation of hate and malice. Now, the Brodmann Bible Commentary continues on stating that Jesus traced sin back to disposition, attitude, or intention. The overt act of murder has its root in anger, hostility, or contempt for another. Jesus cited anger, insulting one's brother, and calling another fool as being crimes for which one is or should be brought before the court, the Sanhedrin, which was the highest ruling body of the Jews, or for which he is liable to Gehenna. No court seeks to convict a person on the grounds of feeling or attitude, but feelings of anger or contempt are as dangerous as are the outward crimes for which one is brought into the courts of considerable liable to hell, or Gehenna fire, that is ultimate extinction. And Jesus' words are to be understood as a radical protest, as radical protests and warnings against wrong feelings towards another. That Jesus had his own community in mind is reflected in the recurrence of his brother, a term reserved for Matthew, for a Christian brother. Anger and contempt are not only self-destructive, but destroy the fellowship of the church. And yet, here is another reason why we need to be careful of what we do and what we say in regards of our fellow Christians, since we don't want to be considered a fool and resort to foolish acts. Number two, second one, is that of foolishness. So first one was about fool. And now we're going to talk about foolishness, and what does the Bible have to say about this? Now, a fool uses his reasoning skills to make wrong decisions, and foolishness is a result of a person misusing the intelligence or even the understanding that God has given him, if in fact God has given him that. As we already read about, denying God's existence is the most basic type of foolishness. Foolishness is associated with quick temper, and I mentioned that already, but we're going to further read that in Proverbs chapter 14. Chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, to further elaborate on foolishness now. Chapter 14 and verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. They are hasty in what they do, and they do not seek counsel. They give in to perverse speech. They're disobedient to parents, which we know about, which you heard about already, as being a fool. But it is also counterproductive. Notice in chapter 19 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. But it is discipline which will help train up, or which will help train us in wisdom. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15. Chapter 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Foolishness can also contribute to the unsuccessful efforts of the household. And it could also make you say foolish things. Okay. Yeah, foolishness can also contribute to the unsuccessful efforts of the household. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. And the contrast is stated in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 through 26. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, but it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So this is clearly talking about trials that one goes through, and you have to make sure you have a solid foundation to overcome these trials, unless you are foolish and you are unstable in your ways. Jesus explains what comes out of the heart to a man in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20 through 23. Mark 7, chapter 20 through 23. And he said, "What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Now that's quite a list. And it's interesting that foolishness is at the end of that list, because all the things preceding that is all foolishness. So you see how serious that is. Foolishness is breaking God's law, and it can most certainly lead to it, which is sin. And we all know what sin is. It is lawlessness. God's way is foolishness to the fool, especially to those who don't have the understanding, but may think that they do. Yet they are fooled, and they give in to foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. First Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached," and this is referring to the world, "to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. This is considered foolishness to the vast majority because they do not understand the gospel message, and it doesn't make sense to them. Notice also in chapter 3 and verse 18 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Fools also put their foolish trust into worthless things. And it's foolishness in God's eyes. Notice Jeremiah chapter 10 and verses 14 and 15. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 14 and 15. Everyone is dull-hearted, without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. And also notice verse 8 of chapter 10. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. And how many people out there in the world have idols that they worship? They carry a cross or some kind of a sign or whatever it may be. Christmas is coming up. They have the Christmas trees and so on and so forth. That is all foolishness in God's eyes. Worthless. What can they do for you? So they put their trust into these kind of things. What about the nations and the leaders of this world? Notice Job chapter 12 and verse 23. Job chapter 12 and verse 23 through 25. Job chapter 12 and verse 23. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgression and my sin. That's the wrong one. That was chapter 13. All right. Job chapter 12 and verse 23. You are all there. I'm not. Okay. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light. He makes them stagger like a drunken man. It's very interesting how this is worded. And it shows exactly the leadership of this world. Notice also in chapter 17 and in verse 4 of Job. And this is why the leadership and the nations are like this. Chapter 17, verse 4, For you have hidden their heart from understanding, therefore you will not exalt them. God hasn't opened their minds. They don't know any better. And that is why God is not exalting them. Notice the warning that Paul gave to the Galatians for acting foolishly in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And this isn't just a warning to the Galatians at that time, but this is also a warning for us today. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Or another way, did they receive by faith and did they believe? Are you so foolish, verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, or through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. In verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So they believed by doing it. And our faith must be manifested by our works to be justified. It's the only way that's going to work is through works. Number 3. What does it mean when the Bible talks about the foolish things of the world? Who is God referring to here? And we sung about that earlier. Not many wise men are called. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, we read, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So in this verse here, Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth. And he implied that they should be glad that not many were wise, according to the flesh, or mighty, or a noble. Because such things often keep people from the sense of need that leads to salvation. If more of them had been wise, mighty, or noble, it is likely that fewer of them would have been saved. Why? Notice verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So he has called, he has chosen the foolish things of this world. Does that mean that we're foolish? Are called? See, God is not looking for millionaires and famous entertainers and athletes and politicians, all those that are considered great in the eyes of men, to save and to do his work. Not to say that he could not call a rich and famous people, because he most certainly can do that, and he has done that. I mean, Abraham was rich, very rich, and there are other examples, and he called them. But oftentimes, this is certainly a distraction, having all these possessions and being in the position that people are in, and God knows that. Just like the example of the rich ruler who wanted to follow Christ, says, what should I do to follow you? And when Christ told him what to do, he was not willing to give in because his riches were more important to him. He had made his riches his God over true God. The very things that put them ahead in the world may actually put them behind with God. Because people that are in that situation, they have everything they need and want. They're living the life. They don't need God to help them. Why? They have everything already. But God looks at the heart, and he calls certain people for a specific purpose. His design is not by accident. In human thinking, strength is strength, weakness is weakness, intelligence is intelligence. But to God, some of the seemingly strongest things are the weakest. Some of the weakest things are the strongest. And some of the wisest things are the most foolish. A simple, uneducated, untalented, and a clumsy believer who trusts and believes in Jesus Christ and God the Father, and who faithfully and humbly follows him and keeps his laws, is immeasurably wiser than the most brilliant PhD out there, right? Who scoffs at God's law, who knows nothing beyond his books, his own mind, his own experience. He sees nothing beyond this life, and he cannot be considered anything but foolish. Now, the Barnes Notes of the Bible Commentary talks about the foolish things and explains it this way. The things esteemed foolish among people. The expression here refers to those who were destitute of learning, rank, wealth, and power, and who were esteemed as fools and were despised by the rich and the great. Which then, to bring to shame, when it talks about that, where it says God's chosen foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. So to bring to shame, or that he might make them ashamed, that is, humble them by showing them how little he regarded their wisdom and how little their wisdom contributed to the success of his cause. By thus overlooking them, bestowing his favors on the humble and the poor, by choosing his people from the ranks which they despised, and bestowing on them the exalted privilege of being called the sons of God, he had poured dishonor on the rich and the great, overwhelmed them, and their schemes of wisdom with shame. It is also true that those who are regarded as fools by the wise men of the world are able often to confound those who boast of their wisdom, and that the arguments of plain people, though unlearned except in the school of Christ, of people of sound common sense under the influence of Christian principles, have a force which the learning and talent of the people of this world cannot gainsay or resist. They have truth on their side. And truth, though dressed in a humble garb, is more mighty than error, though clothed the brilliancy of imagination, the pomp of declamation, and the cunning of sophistry. And then when it talks about the weak things, referring to those esteemed weak by the people of the world. And the mighty, referring to the great, the noble, the learned. You know, it is more than just believing in Christ, but action is also required. And we need to recognize what God has given us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4. Second Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. And verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And this also includes the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Because those who are called today have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, because the Holy Spirit is in us. And it teaches us and searches out spiritual things for us in the mind of Christ, since he lives in us through his Holy Spirit. And if we need strength and if we go through problems and trials and troubles, we ask for more of his Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to give us the strength, the power to overcome. We should be able to decipher between what is right and what is wrong, between righteousness and unrighteousness, between the truth of God and the lies and deception that clouds this world we live in today. If we rely on God and put our trust and faith and confidence in him and through the power of his Holy Spirit, the true believer can reject foolishness. Our thoughts can please the Lord, and our righteous decisions can glorify God. And our lives can be enriched, not just to ourselves, but also the lives of those around us. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, for the last scripture. Philippians chapter 4, and verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whether things are true, whether things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What we say, what action we do, what we do towards others, are we pure to ourselves? Are we lovable? We shouldn't despise what is good. We should live God's way of life as examples and resolve all of this in our minds to put this into practice. And that's just it. These are things that we have to keep doing on a daily basis. Cannot just do it once and then stop. We know what the gift is. We know what God has given us, and we have to take advantage of that. And we have a responsibility to keep going with it. When it comes to our eternal salvation, one is either a fool, meaning he rejects God's way of life, or one is wise, meaning he believes in Christ and God's laws and commits his life to him. And soon the rest of the world, who have not yet been called, will have that chance. And we'll then discover that God's way of life, what the world thinks right now to be foolishness, is in reality the wisdom of God providing them with eternal salvation.